turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. This is Walking in the Light, part two. We're going to finish this section. If you don't have a word, I expect you next week to have your word. It's no excuse. We are an army now. And the goal here is what? What is the goal? What's the goal here? That's the ultimate, but what's the goal here that we're trying? We're trying to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Okay? There are consequences for that. For our disobedience and our lifestyles that don't line up with what God says, there are consequences on the church. And this is what Paul is trying to get us to understand. Let's read, starting in verse 20 again, in Ephesians 4. You, however, did not know Christ this way. Surely you have heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that it is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. You who have been stealing, steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every other form of malice. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God forgave you. How we were and who we are is a dichotomy. If we are still thinking in terms, after all this time of being together, in terms of, oh, woe is me, I have excuses about everything, you better check to see if you're in the faith. If you are still lying, you better check to see if you're in the faith. If you're still doing stuff that is contrary to what God has told us, check to see if you're in the faith. You may not be. You may be calling yourself a Christian, but your lifestyle is contrary to what has been called for each and every one of us. I sense a heaviness in the spirit today because some of us have been just skating along. Some of us have been just pretending to be about God's business. And fitting him in to whenever we feel like we want to fit him in. The truth is, you need to fit your schedule in after his priorities. That's the truth. His priorities are first, not last, not second, not a distant third. They are first. And in order to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we must all agree that our former lives must be put to death. They have to be put to death. If all you can see is your little pity party that you're celebrating in, don't come to me anymore with it. I'm past that. I have leaders now that can help you in your pity party. Pastor, you're hurting my feelings. Exactly. Exactly. And if I'm hurting your feelings, think about his. Think about what he expects from you and why you're not giving it all to him. We talked last week about lying. And I know, as sure as I'm standing here, that some of us are still lying. And we're lying to ourselves because we don't want people to look at us and think less of us. Well, you need to understand that that is a sin that's common to us. That is not a place that we practice with one another. It says, put it off. Why? Because when the liar is found out, their reputation and everything that comes out of their mouth is untrustworthy. It divides. It destroys the unity and it corrupts peace. There is a false peace, but there is not a true peace that God wants us to have. But you don't understand, Pastor. I don't want people to think less of me. Well, you did that to yourself when you opened your mouth and told an untruth, when you lie. You see, words mean something. And what we're talking about here, what Paul's talking about here, is character or the lack of. When we talk about anger, and the anger is an emotion, and we understood that lying is with the intent to deceive. There is a motivation to deceive, but anger is an emotion that must be controlled, and if it's not controlled properly, when it erupts, it is very, very destructive. And we take it out on the most innocent amongst us. And I have to tell you, that's not going to be tolerated. Your Father wants you to have righteous indignation and anger towards sin and evil. Not when someone supposedly does you wrong. We have Matthew 18 that all you know is a mainstay for us to operate in. It is a principle. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I don't need to understand. You need to understand. In the household of God, there is a way for us to operate. And when you don't operate in the household of God the way you're supposed to, are you part of the family? There aren't special rules. There's special rules for Nolan because Nolan's Nolan. Special rules for Stephen because he just graduated high school and he could do whatever he wants to do. Baloney. You're held to the same standard as I'm held to. And your Father in heaven expects you to come to that standard and live it every day of your life until you are taken on to glory. You see, when we lie, there is a cloud of deception that causes the glory that of God that is in us not to be seen. You see, it's not your reputation, it's His that's at stake. It's not about Nolan. It's not about Stephen. It's not even about me. It's about Him. And whether you know it or not, when you called on the name of Jesus Christ, you said, yes, Lord, to be saved. And in part of that salvation, He gave you some marching orders. He said, what? Go and tell them. Go and tell them. And compel them to come. You just don't understand, Pastor. I work all night. Yeah, so do I. You don't understand, Pastor. I work two jobs. I don't care. I don't care. You're not going to get a pat on the back because you work two jobs. You work all night. You work all day. That's what's expected of you. That's what He expects of you. In full devotion to Him. He's the one who has provided for you. There's so much more in you that you are unwilling to allow God to bring out. To our harm. To the Church of Jesus Christ's harm. When you refuse Him, you refuse to allow God to bless dreams. Think about this. Your attitudes about how you conduct your life affects my house. His house. The household of God. You are not a microcosm unto yourself. We are all put together to form His body, called the local expression of the Church of Jesus Christ here. And when you don't give your all, when you don't act the way you're supposed to act, when you don't do the things that you're supposed to do, it is a reflection on our Father. It's a reflection on me. But most importantly, it's a reflection on you and who you represent. Stealing. It's our next great topic. Stealing. God has commanded us not to steal. Thou shalt not steal. Why? Because He has given to each individual who works, He has instituted the right of property ownership. When I work, I can earn what I use my money for to pay for the things I need. Well, I don't steal. Well, let me describe how you steal from God. He gives you a job. And we're all crazy. Oh, praise God. He gave me this job. God shows me how strong He is and how wonderful He is. He loves me. It's true. 3 months down the road, you're getting slothful and sloppy. Your boss is telling you, you know, you got to get your act together. You got to do what's right. You're stealing from God because you're not giving His best. So that people can see Christ through you. Do you not know that employee theft is one of the greatest hindrances to profitability for American businesses today? Holly would tell you. She worked in that industry. She knows. It's what she does, exactly what I'm talking about. Theft takes on anything from stealing what the company owns, taking it without permission, to lying on your timesheets, not doing your best all the time in your job. That's theft. There are consequences to theft. Firing of a job. Consequences to lying on a job. Firing. Consequences of being angry on a job. Firing. Why? Because that's behavior that is not acceptable. Well, my friends steal. Your friend saved? Oh, yeah, he calls on Christ. You need to repent and then you need to convict him of what's wrong. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And our actions, our attitudes, they're not God. Because when we act that way, we're of our father, the devil. That's what Christ said. When you're not walking in the light as He's in the light, and you're conducting yourself contrary to what God says, you're of your father, the devil. I'm just telling you what He says. I happen to agree with Him. In ancient times, the slaves would steal from their masters. They would take the gold idols and stuff, and they would sell them in the open market so that they would have extra stuff. They stole the property of their owners. Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and they stole from God. They took something that God told them not to take. They stole. Does God love them? Yeah. What happened? Kicked them out of the garden. Those who practice such a lifestyle of lying, stealing, always angry, you're in jeopardy of your eternal salvation. Because my word says, judgment comes upon those who are outside the kingdom and those who are disobedient to the gospel. Disobedient to the gospel. It says you know what he expects of you, but you willingly don't do what you're told to do. That's called rebellion, which is in the guise of witchcraft, which is punishable by death. Best remedy for stealing is to work. Give your best. Save your money. Why? Because then you learn how much things cost. You learn to cherish what you do have, and you're no longer living on a handout. You prize what God gives to you, and you gain wisdom in how to use His money. Not our money, it's His money. How do we steal from God? We don't give to God what's His. What's God's? The tithe. Well, Pastor, I don't believe in the tithe. Hey, I know people that don't believe in the tithe, and let me tell you about their lives. Compromise in one area, you're compromising all the way through. That's for the Jew. Search it out, see what the scriptures say. The tithe was implemented before the Jew was. It's about the condition of your heart. And I'm not saying it. His word says it. Check Malachi 2 out. How have you stolen from me? You've stolen from tithes and offerings. Things aren't going well in your life. Maybe that's where you need to start, by repenting and get on board with what the program calls for. Well, I just can't afford it. You know what? I was where you were at one time. When I began to tithe, I was $25,000 in consumer debt. I had a mortgage. I had two, not one, two car payments. I had a family to raise. But I committed myself to God. And when I commit to God, God's already committed to me. Well, you just don't understand. I don't have a job to... You know what? You beat on a hammer, a nail long enough, it will eventually go through a piece of oak. He doesn't bless you so that you can continue to live in your sin. He blesses you because He loves you, that He wants to expand His kingdom. He says in Deuteronomy 8:18, I've given you the power to create wealth. To create wealth. Listen. To establish His kingdom, not ours. We don't have to go and look to create wealth. He is the wealth. And when we steal from Him, we open ourselves up to all kinds of compromise and demonic attacks, which includes our health being impaired, doors of opportunity not being opened, education. We go for higher education, but we don't comprehend what's going on. Didn't He tell us in Zechariah just last week? He said, I expect you to speak the truth to each other so that you will be of sound judgment. When you're operating in truth, there's a soundness to you. When you lie, there is an unsoundness to you. You don't know anything except how to satisfy your own wicked desire. You don't know love. You know self-love. You know how to self-preservate yourself. Am I stepping on toes? No? Let me continue. I guarantee I will. When we work, the work is the training ground for our spiritual life. The training ground is integrity, honesty, commitment, being on time, promptness, submitted to authorities that are above us, because all authorities are given by God. And when we don't submit to them, when we say we know better than they do, we're saying we know better than God. Oh, my boss, he just likes to bust my chops all the time. Well, maybe you deserve it. Maybe he sees something more in you than you see in yourself. Just like the clip. I see something more in you than you see of yourself. I can't want it more for you than you want it for yourself. I constantly ask the Lord, am I worthy of your kingdom? I don't go arrogantly thinking that I'm entitled because I got saved and I accepted Christ as my Lord. I'm constantly seeing if I'm worthy. I don't want any spot or wrinkle on me. I want to be a spotless bride before Him. And when the Holy Spirit convicts me, guess what? I don't wait a month of Sundays to go by before I figure out, you know what? I'm in deep doo-doo here, man. I'm separated from God. My sin has separated me from my King, my Father, who wants to bless me. Work also produces something that you don't even think about. Work produces an opportunity for God to call you to do His work. Moses was called tending the sheep in the back of the back 40. Gideon was working on the threshing floor when the angel called him. Elijah was plowing the fields when the prophet called him to follow him. Peter and John were busy out there fishing every day. And Jesus, the anointed one, Messiah, was a carpenter. When we steal, we're so inept, we're so out of touch in understanding what God is trying to do. We're so bent on our wants, our desires, our needs. Do you ever once think about His wants, His desires, His needs? He has these. He's always thinking good thoughts about us. What do you think about God? Do you even have a thought about God in your course of your day? Do you have a prayer life? You just don't understand, Pastor. I got problems. Yeah, so did I. Now I have solutions. He pours out wisdom when I need it. He gives me counselors, so I may be able to discern what the Lord is saying. I will not steal from the Lord. I will give to Him because He has given to me most gloriously. I will not steal from the Lord because I need His help when I run into trouble. I will not steal from the Lord because I am of the light. I am not of darkness. I am of my Father who art in heaven, and holy is His name. Who's your Father? Who's your Father? Or put it in modern vernacular, who's your daddy? Who do you cry out to? Your friends or Jesus? Who do you follow after? Your friends or Jesus? Who do you associate with? Your friends? Everyone else other than Jesus? Are you building unity in the bond of peace in your life, in your family's life, in the life of Streams? Or are you contrary? Even our kids need to understand that there are consequences to our disobedience. They need to understand that we have the authority and it's not a game. There's a right way and a wrong way. They need to be taught these things. Train up a child in which they may go. And when they grow old, they will not depart. Lay this rod of correction upon the seat of understanding. They will surely not die, even though they scream as though they were. That's what Proverbs says. I am trying to get you to understand something very, very, very important. I am in league with God. I know what's going on. My leaders are in league with God. They know what's going on. Do you have an inkling of what's going on? Or are you so wrapped up in circumstances and problems and stuff that you can't even discern what the next step for your life is? And all these things that I'm sharing with you as part of the congregation, I've shared with the leaders. I expect the leaders to operate. And when they don't, we talk. I don't make threats. I just tell them how disappointed I am. Because my Father is disappointed when we behave less than the kings and priests that we all are. When we are fearful of testing the waters of the unknown because there's storms and trials and tribulations. Let me tell you what our overseeing apostle said. I'm going to close with this. About us moving out in this building. He gave me great words of edification. He said, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. I don't think you have people who are committed and giving to the cause. His words. You know what that made me do? I began to roar like a lion in my spirit. That's not of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I believe that you are of higher quality than what our overseer sees. I believe this is an opportunity for all of us to do a soul check. You see, Israel crossed over. All of them crossed over when they left Egypt. Only the warriors crossed over. Some of the family stayed on the east side. And as the land was taken, the families were brought into the land to habitate the promises of God. Are you those people that I see that is roaring in the spirit? Or are you this type of people that our overseer sees? But Pastor, you know, this is going to hurt. Anything worth having is worth working for, sacrificing for, obtaining for. There are souls of men, women, and children that are going to hell each and every day, and our indifference to what Jesus Christ did for us, did for them also 2,000 years, cannot go on. Our excuses, I can't speak, I can't do, I can't, I just, tell me what you can do, and we'll walk together. My sons that are being raised up have seen me in action in different avenues and with different opportunities, and they know I am seeking God for you guys as they are. This is not a club. This is not a feel-good church. You want a feel-good church, there's plenty of them out there. Just read 1 Thessalonians and see what it says about that church. We are the army of God. We are going to take the land. We are going to push down the walls that resist the Spirit of God. And we are going to inhabit the promises that God has given to us. Whether you're with us or not with us is beyond my control. But it is within yours. You have a lot to think about. And we're still not done. Because we're going to talk about how we speak next week. Go to the scriptures. See what God says about it. When you come next week, don't come surprised. Be prepared. Come anticipating. Church as usual is over. Amen? Father, I've heard you clearly today, Lord. I do not, Father, want to put your name to something and put it to shame. Your name is high above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. My knee is bowed. My tongue confess that you are Lord of my life, my family's life, and Lord of streams of life. Father, by your Spirit, bring conviction to those areas of weakness that we no longer give place to the devil in our lives. Father, it's either all or nothing for us. We are at a threshold that is all or nothing. If we do not break through, God, it is not because of you, but because of us. And we will be the ones put to shame. God, help us break through. If we do not break through, the enemy, God, I will leave this ministry. I will just be done with it. I don't have much more left in this, God. I see great and promising people. Help them to see how great and awesome they are, God. God, may your name be exalted above every name, every nation, that the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of your Lord in Christ, in whose name I pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.